Simply put, wastewater is defined as water that has been used in a home or business or as part of an industrial process. And since waste is part of the word, you can only imagine what that means it could include. It includes soap, urine, and other things related to our bodily functions. But for some scientists, the process doesn't end there. It's actually a starting point for a deeper dive into our general health and what members of a community eat, drink, etc. The work could be a little messy, but the conclusions may improve public health. Professor Rolf Halden is director of ASU's Center for Environmental Security, and he spends a lot of time learning about sewage. Rolf, how much material are we talking about that you're looking through at a treatment plant?
So we are going through massive amounts of water, which gets then mixed with a fairly small amount of feces and urine and sputum and blood and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we are detectives. We are using, trying to detect the needle in the haystack using state-of-the-art equipment. And in a large city, think of a stadium, it fills up several times, per day mm-hmm. with sewage. And so we are the detectives that try to find out what's in there. Now, this might sound gross and unusual, but I think we're used to the fact that waste tells a lot about civilization and people, right? We know in archaeology, we go back and look at waste and understand what people did and how they lived. Mm-hmm. And similarly, when we go to the doctor and we want to find out about our health, we deposit, specimens of stool and urine, and the doctor does the diagnostics. So think of us as the same, but doing it on a population scale. So we are the doctors for the city rather than a doctor for an individual. And we want to find out what the health status is, what people are doing, who is there, how many people reside in an area, and what is their health status, what are the health threats that are in the area that potentially could cause an epidemic, for example.
What are the key things you're looking for, and what are things that potentially could be alarming, either based on what you're finding in it or the level of what you're finding?
So the things that can do us in are typically either chemical or biological agents. And our laboratory has collected a lot of data on chemical agents. That's particularly interesting because with biological agents, we contract them, we get sick, and then we have a manifestation of disease rather quickly. With chemicals, that's not necessarily the case. So if you study chemicals in an area and then look at the health profile of a population and then see unusual clusters of disease, say a cancer cluster, you can compare that to another setting where a similar population lives, but they might lack an exposure, which we can measure in the sewage. And so that gives us a hint on how we might explain diseases and can prevent them in the future.
Once you get to the sewage level, how much control does an individual have? How much of this comes down to the quality of the water flowing through our pipes, and then what we choose to flush into it? How much of it depends on what prescriptions we may be taking? How much does it depend on what we throw down our sink?
So the answer is that in the wastewater, we can essentially measure everything. We get clues on air pollution. We get clues on, the quality of the drinking water, which also translates into wastewater. And we get clues on the health of the population. The hard thing is to find out how many people contributed to what it is that we measure. So your question is right, on target, because it's a technical challenge to determine, who contributed or how many people contributed. We are actually never asking who. So we are interested in the population, never in the individual. And our aim is to understand housekeeping chemicals that we can measure and that allow us to estimate how many people are there. And then we can look at the things like prescription drugs that you mentioned, or even illicit drugs or alcohol or nicotine. And we can measure how many alcoholic beverages on average have been consumed per 1,000 people, how many cigarettes are being smoked. And this gives us real-time information about, human health activities and activities that affect health as well as the environment.
Well, Rolf, then when it comes to the work you do, it seems like it has to have that bigger picture component to it. Is that how you look at it in some sense, thinking that in order to modify it from a societal point of view, it's going to have to start almost from the top down? You can't just necessarily start with, here's a neighborhood, and then these people have to change their activity. It really comes in a bigger picture mode. Do I have that right or no?
I'm glad you bring this up because that's one of the major challenges in public health concerning, the use of chemicals. Chemicals are essential. A chemical-free world doesn't exist. There's a vacuum without anything in it. So chemicals are not intrinsically bad. Some are. Most of them are good. Figuring out which ones are the harmful ones, it's a difficult job. So there's over 70,000 chemicals chemicals in commercial use in the United States today, if we regulate them one by one, we will never get there. Mm. So we use the wastewater treatment plant actually as a microcosm telling us how a chemical behaves. When it arrives at the front, at the mouth of the wastewater treatment plant, we know that people use a chemical that is present in the city. Okay? When it travels through the wastewater treatment plant, either it gets degraded or not. Mm. When it doesn't get degraded, which is not good, then it can come out the tail end in the water, or it can accumulate in sewage sludge, which is a byproduct of wastewater treatment. Now, the chemicals that go out undegraded in the water are those that contaminate our drinking water. Now, if a chemical doesn't like to swim in water, it will hug a particle and become part of what's known as sewage sludge, the byproduct of wastewater treatment. If a chemical does that, then we know that it likes to get out of water and get into things that contain carbon and fat. Once these chemicals get into our body, they stay there and they create what's known as a toxic body burden. As we study cities, we can actually determine by just looking at the sewage sludge of what hazardous chemicals are being present in a city, what people get exposed to, and what types and concentrations of chemicals we can expect to find in the average person in that city. That's very powerful information. It is anonymous, but it's important to know. And if we would make that step of taking that knowledge of what degrades, what doesn't, and bring it back to the chemical industry, to the regulators, then we will finally overcome the challenge of having 70,000 questions and can, you know, only money to answer one or two. That's our ultimate goal.
Professor Rolf Halden is director of ASU's Center for Environmental Security. We've been talking about his research into wastewater.